back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, we are less than 24 hours away, everybody. 24 hours. 8.05 p.m. Thursday night, it is going down. Yours truly, JD from New York. It is going to be a blast. Can't wait. We have a plethora of topics to get into. Podcast Forbidden Door 3. How's everybody doing tonight? AEW playing a lot of politics tonight. We will talk about it. Hope everybody's enjoying the evening. Unfortunately for me, I am having herbal tea. I am battling a cold, but there was no way that I was going to avoid doing this show tonight. And you want to know, nice little treat too? I got this mystery envelope delivered to me today. From WWE, you know, I don't know what's in it. So towards the end of the show, we'll open it up, see what it is. You know, and I had someone call me out and say, well, how do we know, you know, you didn't just buy this stuff? Well, you know, the next sit down, I'll put a screenshot. You could see the behind the scenes of my WWE shop account. I don't order anything other than sometimes getting some prizes that we give away. And speaking of prizes, we have to stop doing these AEW predictions contests. We could do ratings. Oh, and by the way, no World Series game on Friday, everyone. No, the Phillies and the Astros are not playing each other on Friday. What is going to be the excuse with the AEW Rampage rating when they're advertising Shibata? They're advertising Mike Tyson. They're advertising a few other surprises as well. What's going to be the excuse if the rating sucks on Friday? You know, I realized something tonight. And look, I'm a fan of Shibata. You don't know his backstory. You obviously didn't tune into my Forbidden Door episode. But if you look it up, I mean, it's very, people are emotionally invested in the guy. But, you know, I noticed something on AEW more than anything. And this is not across the board. I don't want everybody to feel that I'm pointing a finger at you. What I have realized is that a lot of AEW fans, they like foreplay. They don't like intercourse. And you're probably saying to me right now, DT, what the fuck are you talking about? Let me explain. They like the surprise. They like the build. They like the vignettes. They like the debut. They like, you know, the return surprise. But when it comes to the actual wrestler's career, the Redeemer, he redeems another week without even being mentioned. Lana did an interview talking about Miro's lack of use in AEW. My point is, you know, let's see what happens Friday. If you paid attention to that Baltimore crowd, you would have thought Shibata and some of the other surprises that came out tonight. Cole Carter, I feel bad for Cole Carter. The funny thing is, if he was a New Japan wrestler, yes, if he was a Japanese wrestler and he just looked like somebody that seemed important, but you didn't know exactly who he is, I think you still would have heard, holy shit, holy shit. Listen to that eruption. Sometimes when people debut, like, people are more hyped about the debut. They're more hyped about the vignette. The House of Black. I'm fucking ecstatic that it seems like the House of Black are going to be reborn. They are going to be returning. It looks like Malakai Black may, in fact, be coming back. And that is fucking great. I love it. Malakai Black is awesome. But look at how he's been used in AEW. So when I see people today getting excited about the vignette, holy shit, that was amazing, epic, unbelievable, Julie Hart is perfect, you know, what the fuck happens once they're back on TV? Do you think they're going to leapfrog over the Elite? You think they're going to leapfrog over a bunch of other people? If that was the case, why hasn't it happened before? Why hasn't it happened when, you know, there's an old saying, you strike while the iron is hot. You know, so people are more excited about, you know, the build. But once they're there, like, there's always excuses being made for futility, in my opinion. So, speaking of Cole Carter tonight, for those that don't know what I'm talking about, Jay Lethal opened this. And look, as I said the last couple of weeks, we don't do full-blown recaps anymore. We'll do a quick overview. If you want to go see the shows, you can. I'll do a quick overview of Dynamite and NXT. Tonight's going to be a short show because tomorrow is going to be, you know, the big one. The big one! I mean, I always treat every show big, but tomorrow, obviously, it's going to be huge. We definitely want to save some big combo there. But, you know, Darby Allin and Jay Lethal opened up the show tonight. And if you remember last week, remember I talked about how Darby's promo sounded like it was outdated and Sonjay Dutt is like trying to like change the topic, you know, because you felt out of place. Well, they decided to have a Sting appearance tonight. And the funny thing is, if you watch when we first saw the Sting with the bat, and then they showed him from the side, you saw his face a little bit. The commentators were acting like it was Sting. Why did you do that? Until the cameras got a really good look. What the fuck is that? Talking about buying shit on Wish. AEW. The fucking Darby Allin promo was recorded like 2-3 weeks ago. You can't go on Amazon and buy an actual Sting replica mask? You can't go on eBay? This is what you buy? Guys, gals, I have those Sting masks for sale. They're right here. I kid you not. That's the actual mask that they used. I'll sell it to you right now, $24.99. How the fuck you do that? So as soon as the camera got a good look, I mean, the announcers, the commentators were probably looking like, the fuck is this? So they had to say, that's not Sting. Look at his build. Look at his height. Look at this. It wasn't Sting. But the best part was it was revealed to be Cole Carter. Hey, isn't that funny, everyone? Last week we were joking about how Cole Carter was being pushed on TV for those 2 weeks like something amazing. And then he disappeared. And look now, 1 week later. It always seems to happen that way, right? We talk about someone and we really get into it for maybe 2-3 weeks ago in a row and then they show up. But when I said I felt bad for Cole Carter, that crowd did not react. When he unmasked, people looked and you could tell people like, who the fuck is this? Who the fuck is this? And, you know, the commentators, at, you know, like we're supposed to know. It's Cole Carter. Yeah, well, we probably should know by now for regular AEW fans, but the crowd did not react at all. But the best part of it all is Sting music hit after the Cole Carter reveal. So now we think the real Sting is coming out. No, he didn't come out. Instead, someone else did. Could it be possible they're trying to woo someone into coming into AEW? Would Tony Khan dare go that route? Because we think of Ric Flair's retirement match. Well, I got to shave for tomorrow. Definitely get a shave for tomorrow. You had Sting, Ric Flair's retirement match. Who was involved? Andrade? We also had Jay Lethal. So now we have Jay Lethal involved with Darby Allin. We have, you know, in the feud. Now we have Jay Lethal, Sonjay Dutt, Satnam Singh, and Cole Carter. Cole Carter's with them? Why? I have no fucking idea. But another person came out tonight, and that was none other than J-E-F-F-J-A-R-R-E-T. Jeff Jarrett. He came out. He cut a promo. He smashed the guitar over Darby Allin's head. And it appears that Jeff Jarrett is sending a message to the AEW roster. He's sending a message to the AEW roster. I don't know how to feel about that. You know, he came out, he had his team, and this is another thing, with all due respect. I know I'm nitpicking. Why does AEW have Jeff Jarrett's TNA music on cue? Think about that for a minute. He comes out. You just got a lesson, Darby, from the last Outlaw. He declares war on AEW. Where is this going? I mean, are we going to find out now that Cole Carter is like a second nephew to Dixie Carter? Is that where this is going? We know Sonjay and Jay Lethal have some TNA history. Are we now going to have some type of TNA storyline with this? I don't know about you, but I got to be honest with you. I kind of liked this fucking sign tonight. Front row and center. More AEW, less Ring of Honor, please. Yes. And I know some people out there would be like, well, as long as it's the same wrestlers, what do you care if it's a Ring of Honor? It's not the point. It's not the point. You know, shit is supposed to be done, you know, for the betterment of the company, to entertain us, to push wrestlers, give opportunities. Now it's getting more and more clear of what we've always said, that this is basically their playground. This is their playground for people to play in. And the more expensive contracts, you know, I told you, it's like a spoiled kid that has 50 toys in his room. I have to have this toy. I have to have this toy. I need to redeem this toy. And then you play with it for a little bit, and then it collects dust. And then when your mother says to you, hey, Tony, can I throw this toy away? Can I put it in the garage?
No! I'm playing with it! No!
That's what it seems like. And to make matters worse, I don't want to throw shade on this guy. But, you know, we had a contest. And if you go back to last week's Dynamite, because I actually watched a couple of clips of last week's Dynamite again. And remember, I do this show live 5 minutes after the Dynamite ends. So if they change plans later on, there's nothing I can do about that. But towards the end of Dynamite last week, when they were talking about tonight's episode and they brought up Jericho, and they said that Jericho was going to face a former Ring of Honor world champion. You know, there was mixed messages early on, but when they got to the end of Dynamite, Excalibur specifically said that he is going to face a former world champion. All over social media 1 week ago at around 10 minutes to 10, everybody was given predictions of a former world champion. So we did a contest in the live chat, in the text area, predict who you believe is going to be the former world champion. Well, you could see exactly what went down, everyone. It was 3 weeks ago when I told everybody here that there was never an investigation. It was trying to figure out legally how to handle this. The EVPs never left. They were working from home. They were taking a little bit of a break, waiting for everything to legally be resolved with CM Punk. And the minute everything was agreed upon with CM Punk and Tony Khan, the EVPs now are basically coming out. They're feeding the crumbs to the websites. The smear campaign of CM Punk, you know, is in full force. When somebody tried to put that story out there that his dog got hit, lost two teeth, and this and that, you know, quickly, the news media, Meltzer and others, that story was calculated upon the return of the EVPs. You could see what's going on. So now the EVPs are in their comfort zone. Now they don't have to worry about CM Punk saying, you know what, I'm fucking holding out. I'm fucking going to take this shit to the moon. Things got resolved. So now the EVPs get involved. Oh, who would be the best person? Who, what former Ring of Honor, not world champion, but champion, anybody in Ring of Honor, who would be the perfect person to put out on that TV? Let's think about who CM Punk has really, you know, put down, you know, that people that are in AEW. Now, it couldn't be Hangman Page. Hangman Page is not a former world champion. I don't know. He might have held the belt elsewhere, but, you know, still. And here's some good news for Hangman Page. Tony Khan did reveal, I don't know if it was today or over the weekend, but he did an interview with someone. And he said that Hangman Page is medically cleared, that he's good. So I can't believe that people are not leading with that story today. I mean, Tony Khan is obviously not a doctor, but when he said that he is cleared, that's fucking awesome. But it's still way too soon to bring him back inside the ring. You got to take some extra. You still got to give a couple of weeks just to play safe. No symptoms now. Doctors say you're good. Fine. Take an extra couple of weeks. Make sure everything is cool in the gang. So you put Hangman Page aside. Who else is CM Punk really insulted that's a part of AEW? Gee, I wonder who I could think of. Yeah, they brought out Colt Cabana tonight. Colt Cabana is the one that faced Chris Jericho. And look, you see him on the rampway holding in the tears. He legitimately was about to break down and cry because this is the EVPs with their friend. Remember what I said? I like Colt Cabana. I'm not going to throw shade on the guy. But take note of something that I brought to your attention about a month ago, and no one out there has ever brought to the surface. When that rumor came out early in the year that Colt Cabana was moved to Ring of Honor because of CM Punk, Colt Cabana, who does 50 million podcasts out there, never once ever went on social media and said to everyone, hey, man, listen, I appreciate everybody's support. I appreciate everybody's love. But, you know, that story's not true. It's not true. You know, CM Punk does his thing. I do my thing. We both are part of AEW. We want to see AEW grow and grow bigger and better. He never did that. He let it sit there and he let it build like a giant snowball. So now this guy comes out sobbing, happy. This is redemption. This is tonight the ultimate fuck you to CM Punk. Hey, Punk, you don't get the last laugh. We get the fucking last laugh. It doesn't matter that Colt Cabana has not been used much at all in AEW for over 3 years. But tonight, he gets a Ring of Honor world title match. All because of the CM Punk situation. And listen, let's be honest, that match sucked. It had a couple of moments. It was gaga. But that's something you throw on Rampage. That's something you throw on a house show. That's not something you hype up for a week. That's nothing but political football tonight. That was nothing but politics. And that now, because of Punk being out of there, now we get, remember, you know, we're supposed to be better. You know, the haters out there. You know, I watched over the weekend, and I was late to the game, but I watched over the weekend what went down with JD from New York and all these people in AEW. And look, I'm not going to suddenly kiss JD's ass because what went down. I'm going to make a point here. I was trying to see what every person out there had to say of importance. And what I found was, and this has to do with tonight, what I found was, you know, you got a lot of people out there that will rag on JD, call him every name in a book, and they say he's horrible, but the shit that they want done to him, you know, what they're writing is just as bad. You know, the IWC this weekend, the worst of the worst came out in people, but there was something else. Once Jay Cargill got very upset at JD not looking forward to the match with Marina Shafir tonight, Britt Baker came out of the woods. Rebel came out of the woods. Peter Avalon, a whole bunch of people were throwing a lot of political jabs on there. And one thing that really pissed me off more than anything, Rebel said something that, you know, this has been building for months. And we have all paid attention. She said something like that. I will have the exact quote tomorrow. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. You have a whole bunch of people within AEW that apparently this angry at this guy, and you don't say a word until one person really starts the bomb, lights the fuse. And then everybody gets in their comfort zone. Oh, let's gang up. Let's come out. This, this, and that. You know, when someone has a problem with a stance that I take or if I talk too much politics, or if I say this, or I take this attitude. I want people to speak up to me right away. DT, you know, I'm kind of a little bit offended with this, or I don't like this. Why do you keep it inside for a year, 6 months, 9 months? If it pisses you off that much, you come out and you say something, or you don't say it at all. And what's happening now is that when people get in their comfort zone, that they got backup, they don't have to worry. You think the Kenny Omega wants to get sued? You know, you think he wants to have any legal issues with Punk or anybody else? No. Now they're comfortable that we're back to 2020, everyone. Dorothy, this is 2020. You know, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in 2022 anymore. We're in 2020. And now you get all these people who act higher than thou, that they're very good people. And we don't want, we hate mental abuse, and we hate bullying, and we hate this, and we hate that, and all this stuff online. But man, when someone wants to give it, they're all there to fucking hold the weapon with them. You know, it's a shitstorm. And what happened tonight, that's just basically saying, fuck you, CM Punk. And the worst part about it is Tony Khan doesn't have any control over this, because Tony Khan, the only thing he supplies is the money and the energy. But without the EVPs, and I've said this since the night of the media scrum, I defended CM Punk that night, because there's a lot of people in AEW that feel the same way as CM Punk, but they don't have that political power. And listen, I'll leave you with this and we'll move on. This sends a message. CM Punk, the biggest, most revenue-generating wrestler that AEW's ever had. CM Punk, the biggest star, the person who should have had probably the most power, and he was still taken down by the EVPs and a lot of the media. If you could take down CM Punk, there ain't nobody you can't take down. This sends a message to everybody else on that roster. This sends a message to people on the outside. Hey, if you want to come, you know, you want to enjoy yourself, you want to make a little money, wrestle, no problem. But you don't call the shots. You don't even offer the shots. If you're not part of our clique, if you're not part of our club, if you're not part of the in crowd, you know, if you get used, oh, good. If you don't get used, good. We control everything. And after 3 years, you know, the new car scent is gone. After 3 years, we know what AEW is. We know, look, tonight, women's wrestling, we had, what, 90 seconds of women's wrestling in 2 hours. Everybody talks about the women's moving this and that. Everybody talks about, you know, giving more time and this and that. And every fucking week, you get 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You might get six once every 6 months. It's a holiday. You know, give women a chance month or day. And nobody says a fucking thing about it because people are petrified. You got to go with the program. Somebody comes out, LFG, oh my God, fire, 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 fire. Holy fucking shit. Unbelievable, epic, amazing. Lee Moriarty, man, he faced Danielson. He faced Punk. He faced Moxley. That fucking guy, man, he's Lee fucking Moriarty. I don't give a shit about him. Why should I care about him? I'm a pro wrestling fan, but do I really care? Why? Let me say it like this. Why should I be that emotionally invested in the guy? Can he wrestle? Yes. Is he talented? Absolutely. Does he deserve airtime? Most definitely. But AEW has done nothing for 3 years to make me want to give a shit about him. But if you go against that online, oh my God, you will be smashed down. That's why a couple of days ago I said, JD, keep doing what you're doing. Keep expressing yourself. Because JD, and again, I'm not kissing the guy's ass, but something that he does that some other people do, and it's very, very rare these days, they have a problem. They throw it right out there. They don't let it sit for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And then when somebody finally explodes in the form of Jay Cargill, that's when all of the other people say, oh, let me throw my punch. Let me throw my punch. This has been building for here. Yeah, this is that, this is that. And I'm going to say this tomorrow. And I had a really deep conversation with myself lately, and I'm going to throw it out there now. I went to wrestling school. I failed miserably way back in the day. I went to VPW wrestling school for 9 months. But here's my point. I am completely fed up with every wrestler that every time you criticize something, they will throw in your face, hey, why don't you step in the ring and why don't you see what it feels like? Why don't you do it and then come back to me? How many times have you heard that thrown in people's faces that don't wrestle? And I was thinking about it in baseball the other day. And I use baseball as an example. If somebody's batting 150 on the main team, and that person's name is Martin Shafir, now batting number two, Martin Shafir from Bolivia, and he's batting 150. And then I find out he's in a lineup, and I'm like, for the love of God, no, please, why? All right, and then that person gets mad, or other people say, well, why don't you fucking hit in the batting cage 100 times? Why don't you fucking go up and down the road, get 3 hours of sleep, miss your family, go here, go there? How about you running miles and miles and miles? Well, guess what? If I do all of that, Martin Shafir is still batting 150. So I am fucking sick and tired of all of these people, and they think they're golden, you know, bullet is until you step in the ring, you have no right to say what you say. Bull fucking shit. Bullshit. Because any of us could go in the ring, train, get our ass kicked and say, wow, man, you know, I got some newfound respect for you, man. I could never do what you do. But guess what? You're still batting 150. And that's the point that people don't get. You know, most people out there, they don't want to go after anybody personally out there. The reason why wrestlers get so upset at this is because this is their livelihood. And if there's enough noise out there, ripping someone, having no opinion at all, or just being disinterested, that may influence a promoter to say, you know what, this person is just not clicking with the fans. The fans are just not into it. You know, we got to get rid of this person. That's why they're upset. It's not about, who are you? You've never been in my shoes. You don't do what I do. Who the fuck are you? No, that's not what it is. You know, it's that if enough people say the same thing, that person's livelihood may get taken away. But the funny thing is, they have no problem if someone gets embarrassed in their real job. Or, you know, their real profession. They don't care about embarrassing other people. Every time somebody with a blue check mark has a problem with Avis Rent-A-Car, JetBlue, Outback Steakhouse. You know, I asked you for well done and is pink. Why is my steak pink? How many times have you looked on social media and you want to just say to the person, man, you can't fucking handle this privately? You got to embarrass the people publicly because you want to get a whole bunch of people to gang up on them so they treat you extra special. How many times do you see that? But you can't open your mouth, because if you open your mouth and that person dare responds back to you, you're going to have a whole gang mob trying to shut you down to embarrass you. And it is getting a little bit frustrating. So, and this is for all of you out there. I like Marina Shafir. I defended her You Don't Know Me promo, and I'm not going to get into why over here. And I said, you know who was the most classiest person this weekend out of all of this? Marina Shafir. She said nothing. I gave her props. That's thick skin. But the fact is, you know, if people criticize her work, you know, maybe you take a step back sometimes and say, maybe that person is onto something, instead of, why don't you step in the ring? Why don't you see what it's like? Why don't you do it? Until you do what I do, you have no right to say what you say. Getting fed up of it. All right. Yeah, I wouldn't mind having Marina slap me around. All right. Obviously, I filled a little bit of time tonight because we don't have that much to get into. So, as we said, Jay Lethal beats Darby Allin. Beginning in a match, Satnam Singh, Sanjay Dutt to come out. Kind of stupid, because Satnam Singh interfered in the match, and instead of the referee disqualifying, you know, Jay Lethal, he ejects Singh and Sanjay Dutt. But then we get this mysterious Sting to show up at ringside, hits Darby Allin with the bat. After it's over, it's revealed to be Cole Carter. Then Sting's music hits. We think Sting is coming out, but no, Jeff Jarrett is behind Darby Allin. He gives him a guitar shot right across the head. Jeff Jarrett sends a message to the AEW roster, putting everybody on notice. So could this lead to another Legends tag match? I'm not saying that Ric Flair is being considered, but man, wouldn't be surprised if we see something like maybe Sting and Muda, you know, versus Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutta. So I'm just saying, I mean, or Jay Lethal. It feels like this is being built to a, and you know what? It may happen at all, Full Gear. May happen in Full Gear. That might be the reason why Jeff Jarrett came out now. He might just be there for a couple of weeks. No idea. I'm not going to criticize the man because I thought he did a great job with the Ric Flair stuff. And he actually is not, I mean, for his age and his shape, he's not, I mean, he's not embarrassing himself. The question is, do you want that in AEW? So, all right. John Moxley beats Lee Moriarty. Ethan Page is on commentary. William Regal, I'm assuming, was not there because I guess, did anybody see him when they had the big brawl with the Jericho Appreciation Society in the Blackpool Combat Club? I don't remember seeing him on the rampway, but he was not on commentary for Moxley's match. Ethan Page was on commentary. After Moxley beats Lee Moriarty, Ethan Page knocks out Moxley with a kick to the face. I don't think, a few people are saying they didn't see William Regal on the stage. I think William Regal was off today. And you know what? I have no problem with that. Regal deserves a little bit of rest and respite once in a while. Don't both of those words mean the same? All right. Saraya, Britt Baker, Renee Paquette was supposed to have a sit-down interview. The sit-down. Britt Baker is no-showed. She's not there. We have an empty chair. Kind of looked like the Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley segment from Raw. But Britt Baker was absent. So Renee is there just with Saraya. They're talking a little bit. And Renee hits Saraya with the question, are you cleared? Are you cleared to return? And Saraya says, you know what, Renee? I was going to do this today, but I'm going to save it for next week because there's one more doctor I want to talk to. Dr. Britt Baker, obviously. So next week, Saraya will confront Britt Baker, and she will reveal what we talked about a month ago. Saraya will be able to return to the ring. Saraya will face Britt Baker at Full Gear. So when Saraya was talking about the doctor she wanted to consult, that is the doctor that she's talking about, Dr. Britt Baker. Now we get the video game segment. The Acclaimed present the Daddy S Birthday Bash. And when I say it's a video game segment, it's almost like if you're playing a video game and they do like a non-wrestling segment during it, you know, and if whoever wrestler you select, you know, they can be part of it. This felt kind of random at times, but the Acclaimed, they come out with Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn has his hands wrapped. So apparently the pliers, you know, were to break the bones in Billy's hands. They had a whole bunch of signs in the crowd. Crowd loved it. And they're looking for gifts from the crowd. They take a kid-made giant scissors that look really, really cool. And the Acclaimed are giving Billy Gunn some gifts. So first they give him the world's greatest dad trophy, which was a nice trophy. But then it gets really goofy. They reveal a certificate of adoption. And Billy Gunn's name on there says William Daddy Ass Gunn. And all he does is he needs to sign it, and Billy Gunn could adopt the Acclaimed as his kids. So the Gunn Club show up, and they're upset. They're like, hey, how come we weren't invited? This is our real dad. Now, it was funny because Max Caster was cracking some, you know, inside jokes, saying that, you know, that the segment tonight was cut short, that he had some extra guests that were supposed to appear. One couldn't make it last minute. There were a couple of others that were very upset because Billy Gunn didn't go to their reunion, you know, hinting, teasing at it like DX. But So that was kind of fun. But the gun club come out and they're upset. They weren't invited to their own dad's birthday party, but they have a surprise for their dad anyway. And here comes W. Morrissey. W. Morrissey lays out Billy Gunn, the Acclaimed, and then FTR shows up to make the save. So this is all obviously to set up a match for next week, because later on in the night, we had Rick Ross hanging out with Swerve Strickland, interviewed with Tony Schiavone. Keith Lee shows up, and Keith Lee's not as happy, you know, like, Swerve, why did you do what you did last week? Who was the cameraman that stood there and witnessed the whole thing and did nothing? And Rick Ross is like, man, you shut the fuck up, have some champagne. And Swerve announces that they have a tag match next week, an eight-man tag. It's going to be the Gun Club and Swerve in All Glory versus FTR and the Acclaimed. They're kind of teasing now that ultimately FTR is going to feud with the Acclaimed. I believe it when I see it, and I also would get a kick out of it if AAA or New Japan, you know, takes the belts off of FTR beforehand. I'm sure they have some type of an agreement that they're going to keep it for a certain period of time, because everybody out there thinks that the minute FTR win those AEW tag titles, if they have four sets of belts, you know, it's going to be like Hall of Fame history. The problem is, you look at AEW's record for FTR, not including six-mans, not including singles, not including Ring of Honor or AAA matches. Their record for 2022 is like 2-4. 2-4. The Usos, when people ask, why do I always put the Usos over more than FTR in 2022? The Usos, I think, just celebrated that they wrestled their 100th match in 2022. 100. And FTR under the AEW banner is wrestling, I think, 4 or 5, maybe 6, if that. I mean, come on. So, all right. Britt Baker later on has an interview with Tony Schiavone. And, you know, she's basically more concerned with Jamie Hayter. And she's like, Jamie, find a tag team for us to face Friday. You know, she wants to have a match on Friday. And we find out later on that Madison Rayne and Sky Blue are going to be the next victims to Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. That'll go down on Rampage Friday. Chris Jericho comes out for his match. He gets on the mic. He doesn't care who he faces. Lamar Jackson, who I believe is the Baltimore Ravens quarterback, he was sitting front row, and Jericho even teases that he could whip his ass too. And Colt Cabana comes out. You know, it was what it was. There was one moment that got very scary. It looked like Jericho was going to fall straight on his head. I don't know if Colt Cabana just couldn't lift him. Something was off, but Daniel Garcia, I don't have the clip here. Nobody, it was strange. Nobody put it online. I don't know. It just, you could see what's happening online. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You know, the people that have to be with the in crowd that don't want to get on the bad side of AEW fans and groups and reporters and podcasters, because all of them are doing this to CM Punk. Now everybody is silent about it. Everybody's anti-CM Punk. And now, you know, even more hate because they think CM Punk is going to go back to WWE. So I think people out there wouldn't dare post the Colt Cabana spot tonight with Jericho. But Jericho wins after the match. You know, a lot of clusterfuck tonight. The main event tonight, which was Samoa Joe and Brian Cage, the clusterfuck on the rampway, the stuff with Sting. I mean, every segment, it felt like there was clusterfuck going on. Rey Fénix, he is excited that he might become a double champion. Pac, not too thrilled about it. But we get the three-way, and Orange Cassidy retains his title. During the match, Jack Perry shows up. He leaves with Luchasaurus. Pac is at ringside. He gives Rey Fénix a ring hammer. Rey Fénix wants none of it. 60 seconds later, Orange Cassidy with the orange punch, Rey Fénix is pinned. Before we could even think about it, we get a little bit of a beatdown, and Shibata is on the rampway. And again, you listen to that crowd eruption. I can't wait to see what the rating is Friday. Let's see if the ratings reflect the excitement tonight. Shibata shows up, best friends show up. And that's because we get you know, more clusterfuck. And this is going to set up a match Friday. So Shibata is going to be facing Orange Cassidy on Friday for the All-Atlantic Championship. Makes the save, but he wants the All-Atlantic Championship. Okay, fine. Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir. I know that was the match that everybody was talking about all week. Nothing really happened in this match. To summarize it, you have Nyla Rose, Vicky Guerrero on the rampway with a live mic. And to put the divert the attention away from Jade Cargill and Marina Shafir a little bit, Nyla is doing commentary with Vicky on the main speakers, putting down Jade Cargill, just trying to embarrass her. Nyla's bragging that she has the belt. When Jade Cargill finally, after about 30 seconds, diverts her attention to Nyla Rose, Nyla Rose is like, you know, I hope you know how to count. You know, and you care about your undefeated record, because she's basically saying you're about to get counted out of the ring. So Jade Cargill runs back to the ring. Another 30 seconds later, she beats Marina Shafir. And then I think Kira Hogan showed up. She tried to take the belt from Nyla Rose, but she was left laying. And Nyla Rose escapes again with the championship. It was 3 minutes of really, honestly, not much. To be honest with you. Chris, why would you think that it would be anything other than a squash? The whole storyline is Nyla Rose has the belt. So this is probably going to lead to Nyla Rose versus Jade Cargill at Full Gear. And, you know, Jade Cargill's not... First of all, no one is going to have a seven-minute match with Marina Shafir right now. So why would Jade Cargill and Marina Shafir, to explain to me the logic of having a 5, 6, 7 minute match, you know, what, because they're pissed off for because of JD that suddenly they're going to pull out Bret Hart moves that we've never seen before? I personally think if nothing went down this weekend, we still would have got what we got. Maybe it would have happened a little bit earlier in the night, but we still got what we got. We get that House of Black promo that I talked about earlier. And then the main event tonight, Samoa Joe retains the Ring of Honor TV title over Brian Cage. After the matches over, the Embassy come out, more beatdowns. Warjo gets the upper hand because Wardlow makes the save. Samoa Joe and Wardlow and Samoa Joe, they basically chase the Embassy away. And we go off the air. Was not a very good show, to be honest with you. It just, I don't know. You know, I mean, they did show a segment early on with, they are teasing a couple of things. First of all, one match that we know is going to happen in Full Gear now, it's going to be Toni Storm versus Jamie Hayter for the interim championship. As much as everybody is into Jamie Hayter right now, it does not feel that she's going to win this championship, although I will definitely be rooting for her. But another match that they're teasing now, and it looks like it could happen, it's the Death Triangle versus the Elite. Now, I don't have the clip here, but basically what they did was, if you remember last week when I showed you, you know, that they were trying to erase the Elite's history, they showed a moment tonight, and it was supposed to be, I guess, the Elite winning the championships, and then it's paused, and then you see somebody at the control of some like media software, and they remove the Elite's footage, and instead they put the footage of the Death Triangle winning the Trios titles. So it kind of gives you the teaser that maybe the Death Triangle is behind the mocking of the Elite. I don't think so, but it looks like, as we said last week, we were the first people to say that the Elite are returning at Full Gear, not sooner. And it looks like we may get the Death Triangle versus the Elite at Full Gear. So, you know, it's obviously going to be an awesome match. Would the Elite put those titles right on themselves that quickly? Who knows? Who knows? And next week we should hear the announcement of Saraya versus Britt Baker. You know, we may end up having 3 or 4 women's matches at Full Gear. Wouldn't that be something? You know, I'm not counting on it. I think we may get 2 at the most, but it's very possible we could have more. We'll see. All right. So on Friday for Rampage, as I said earlier, Mike Tyson will be appearing. Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter will be taking on Madison Rayne and Sky Blue. You got Shibata versus Orange Cassidy for the All-Atlantic Championship. And they're going to name more participants in the World Championship Eliminator Tournament. That's going to go down at Full Gear. So that's what we have to look for on Friday. So it's going to be interesting again with the ratings. Now, NXT, we'll get into this briefly as I close out a couple of pitches here. One thing right off the bat, everybody is on pins and needles wondering if R-Truth is okay. If anybody out there that did not see it, R-Truth was in a match against Grayson Waller. And you got to look at it closely. R-Truth, he tried to do a dive from inside the ring over the top rope onto Grayson Waller. I'm going to show you the clip. If you look at it closely, and I unfortunately I don't have the slow-mo of it, when he pushes off to jump over, to leap over the top rope, if you look closely at his left leg, it looks like his knee buckled as he tried to lift off inside the ring. I'll show it to you two or three times so you can see it if you look on your screen. Watch closely. See? If you look right as he lifts, his left leg hardly gets over that top rope. I'll show you again. Just watch his left leg. You could see. One more time, look at his left leg when he pushes off. He doesn't have any lift whatsoever, and he immediately started grabbing his left knee. Now, he actually, you know, I don't want to say walked to the back. I mean, he had the referees holding him, so there was no weight on his knee, but he refused to go out on a stretcher. He was helped to the back. Only thing I know is that he had an MRI today. We don't know the results of the MRI yet. So hopefully he just tweaked his knee. You know, R-Truth is getting up there in age. And I know what some of you are going to say. Truth, there's no reason to do that. But, you know, the guy, he likes to do what he does. He's having a good time, and we all love his work. But obviously, when you start getting in the latter stages of your career, you got to be really, really careful. You got to be extra careful, you know, because an injury that you may be able to recover 10, 20 years younger, 15 years younger, you may not be able to recover this time around. So we wish R-Truth the best. The match was stopped as a result. So Grayson Waller was given the victory. Kiana James over Thea Hale, and we're going to get into the releases that, you know, I teased at the beginning of the show. Bodhi Hayward was released from NXT. Now, before we even talk about that, they're trying to replace Bodhi Hayward with Andre Chase. I have nothing against Andre Chase, but it ain't going to work. The guy doesn't have that, you know, beach blonde, brain dead, hanging out on the beach, almost Matt Riddle type, you know, 2021-esque attitude. And yesterday, Andre Chase comes out. And he's waving the flag like Bodhi Hayward did, and it just looks awful. You know, Andre Chase breaking the code of conduct by basically helping Thea Hale. He thinks he's helping her, but he's cheating a little bit, so he gets ejected. You know, it's not going to work. Nothing against Duke Hudson, but it's not going to work. You know, Duke Hudson, you know, if you remember when he first came in, was a poker player, and then unfortunately had, you know, that personal issue outside of wrestling that seemed to, like, kind of derail him a little bit. But Duke Hudson waving that flag and trying to be a member of Chase University, I can't see where it's going to. You cannot replace Bodhi Hayward's character. I mean, do something completely different, but I watched that yesterday and I did not like any of it at all. So, you know, nothing against Duke Hudson, but it failed miserably in my opinion. Anyway, Kiana James pins Thea Hale. After the match is over, we get an appearance from Charlie Dempsey. You know, he tries to attack Andre Chase. You know, I personally think Andre Chase versus Charlie Dempsey. I don't know how that's going to come out. Charlie Dempsey is good, man. I'm a little surprised that they're only using regulating him for this right now, but you know, we'll see what happens. Odyssey Jones makes his return to the ring, and he beats Javier Bernal. And Odyssey Jones, long road back, you know, he is recovered. He looked pretty good. And we'll see where it goes. I will tell you that Odyssey Jones is one of the more beloved wrestlers within the WWE community. So there's a lot of people rooting for Odyssey Jones to be able to make it. So let's hope that he could stay healthy. Let's hope it was just a freak injury and, you know, he doesn't, you know, get the injury bug anytime soon. Indy Hartwell with a surprise win over Zoe Stark. It kind of seems like they're trying to tease Zoe Stark as a heel. Very aggressive in this match. Nikita Lyons at ringside. She is basically trying to keep Zoe Stark in check. Zoe Stark getting really, like, almost raging at times. And, you know, Nikita Lyons is telling her, you know, stop, calm down. She wants to almost do something with the announcer's table. And Nikita Lyons trying to reel her back in. And a little bit of distraction, Indy Hartwell gets the win. So doesn't seem like the tag team between Nikita Lyons and Zoe Stark is going to last all that long. They're getting another tag title shot. I personally think that team may be Splitsville by next week or the week after. So once that match goes down, we may see some miscommunication. And then could we see Zoe Stark versus Nikita Lyons feud? Very possible. So, all right, Cora Jade over Valentina Feroz. Valentina is sort of heartbroken because Sangha would not go out there to watch her match. Sangha is busy with Veer Mahan, looking dapper behind the scenes, but Valentina Feroz, she's like, why can't you come out of ringside? You must do this on your own. Well, she did not do it on her own. She lost. Cora Jade threatening to attack Valentina Feroz after the match with a Singapore cane. And here comes Wendy Chu to make the save. So it looks like we are moving on from Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade to Cora Jade and Wendy Chu. Main event, Pretty Deadly retain their NXT Tag Team Championships, beating the impromptu formation of the tag team of Wes Lee and Bron Breakker. Basically, both guys could have become double champions yesterday, but that did not happen. Carmelo Hayes, towards the end of the match, shows up, gets involved, and it was kind of funny because, you know, Carmelo Hayes caused the victory, you know, for the team of Wes Lee and Bron Breakker. After the match was over, Wes Lee is trying to beat the fuck out of Carmelo Hayes. Bron Breakker's like looking at his heavyweight championship. I'd be a little pissed off at Carmelo Hayes too. Hey, you screwed it up for me also. But no, he's looking at his title and he's all happy and everything. So Von Wagner shows up and lays him out. And earlier in the night, Apollo Crews kind of hinting that he's next in line, which we've talked about before. Von Wagner, you know, he's also thinking that he's going to be the next champion. So JD McDonagh still is in the title picture. So are we leading to a four-way match in December? Possibly. So we go off the air with Apollo Crews and JD McDonagh having to stare down in the back and Von Wagner laying out Bron Breakker in the ring. I did see that Scripps. Somehow I missed the segment last week. I might have just been preparing for the Patreon show last week, but I did see the Scripps segment yesterday. And basically what it is, if anybody doesn't watch NXT, you know, they're pretending that you're hearing the voicemail greeting of the WWE Performance Center. They have a different voicemail greeting. It's not, you've reached the WWE Performance Center. Please leave a message after the tone. Beep. But then we get this distorted voice, you know, issuing threats to NXT. A lot of you are asking me, who is it going to be? I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's going to be anybody that we even know, like as far as a household name, because they have signed a couple of people from the NIL program. They signed people last year in Las Vegas, and it could very well be one of those signings. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's someone that we know. It's not going to be Dominik Dijakovic because he had his own segment yesterday with the burning of the mask. So he will be returning in the next couple of weeks, but that's not him leaving the Scripps message for anybody that's asking. And we had a sit-down interview yesterday with, and we'll get to the Mandy Rose segment because I got 40 seconds of fun in a few minutes. I have some video for you. It'll be fun. We get the schism being interviewed by Vic Joseph. And obviously the focus of this interview was Ava Raine. Ava Raine is talking about how she's been around WWE her entire life. Nobody ever took the time to get to know her other than Joe Gacy, other than the schism. When she was recovering from an injury, nobody reached out to her other than Joe Gacy. Vic Joseph is accusing the schism of brainwashing Ava Raine, and she makes a remark towards the end that, you know, the schism accepts her for who she is, even throwing a little jab about her father without mentioning The Rock's name. You know, it doesn't matter what my family thinks. You know, I would have popped if she would have said, it doesn't matter. She should have got up, looked in Vic Joseph's face and really angry, go, it doesn't matter. But she did a good job yesterday. She didn't do anything wrong yesterday. Is she going to knock it out of the park with promos? No. Was she believable? Yes. I thought she did a fine job yesterday. I had no complaints whatsoever. And then we got one last segment to talk about, and that is Mandy Rose's one-year celebration. This was great. And it was great for me because of one person. I don't know if anybody watched the segment yesterday, but there was one person in the celebration that I thought was the MVP. No, it was not Mandy Rose. No, it was not Alba Fire. It wasn't JC Jane, and it wasn't Gigi Dolan. To me, the MVP of that segment was this guy. Because this guy had to hold three glasses of champagne for about 7 minutes. And listen, you know, I obviously he's in shape, but I don't know if I could hold a tray. Maybe we'll do that on an episode in the future. I will pour three glasses of, we'll put water in it, and I'll just hold it like this for 5 minutes. Actually, it's not even fair because I'm sitting down, so it's actually a little bit easier. But let me hold it for 7 minutes, and you see what happens. And as I watched the segment yesterday with this guy, I just couldn't help but pay attention to him holding the champagne. Now, unfortunately, WWE put online a very edited version of Mandy Rose's speech. So they cut out about 2-3 minutes of it. So I really couldn't get as many clips as I wanted to. But I took little pieces of that segment. And as it goes along, if you watch closely, when the guy first comes out. Oh, wait. I can't show it to you yet. When the guy first comes out and he's holding the champagne, he's just looking straight ahead. He's not looking at the girls. He's not looking at their asses. He's not looking at the crowd. He's just looking straight ahead. Just very stoic, holding the champagne. Holding the champagne like this for 7 minutes. As time goes by, I look at it closely. It almost looks like a bad Benny Hill cartoon. You ever see Benny Hill? I know it's outdated, but I watched him the other day. You ever see Benny Hill where he's holding a drink and then he sees like a girl bends down and he sees cleavage and he's like, he didn't do that much yesterday, but you could see after about 5 minutes, his arms started getting tired. And if you look at the champagne closely, you'll see it starts to shake a little bit. You'll see he's like looking down. He's like, look at here. I think he actually was going to drop it. So again, I wish I could have shown more, but here's about 40 seconds of this guy yesterday holding his champagne. He was the MVP of the whole segment. Just watch him. Just watch how it ultimately gets to him being a little bit nervous. Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on a second. Did I? Oh, shit. I think I might have. Ah, damn it. Damn it. I think I put the wrong clip in the computer. Oh, man. We're going to have to save that for later this week. I just realized it. Shit. Damn it. I could go in the other room and get the clip. It'll take me literally 30 seconds. Should I do it? Should I go? Do you want to go take a break for a minute? Let's go take a break for like 1 minute. Let me throw, can I have a promo? Wow. Can I do this in 60 seconds time? Maybe I can. Can I? All right. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to race inside. Now, I'm going to put a 60-second clip. And I'm sorry. I know it's a little unprofessional, but I really wanted to show you the clip. I put the edits, and it'll literally take me a minute to get it done. So, all right. Let's do it. Yes. Yes. Holy shit. I might actually do this in record time. Holy shit. Oh, there's no music? How come there's no music? Wow. I actually did it in less than a minute. I'm kind of proud of myself. I can still move around a little bit for being this old fatty. All right, let me pull it up. Let me pull it up. Where are you? Mandy. Here we go. Wow, I was pretty proud of myself. I literally took the file, uploaded on Dropbox, ran into this room, downloaded it. All right, here you go. This is why I thought he was the MVP. All right, here. Mandy, last night. Just pay attention to him.
When I say hard, I mean really hard. 26
days. 365 days of being the most dominant champion. You fought legends, underdogs, because that's all I was.
His arms start to shake.
For 4 years. Ratings don't lie. Merchandise sales don't lie. And you people thought that I couldn't hold the NXT Women's Championship.
He's getting a little nervous.
The greatest women wrestlers in the entire world. No, because it's the damn
truth. Look at the liquid. It's starting to shake.
And I have stepped on every single one.
He's like my arms.
On my way to the top.
I love it.
Damn, does it feel good?
Oh, man, that was great, man. I give him credit, man. He was the MVP of that segment. I watched that. I'm like, you go, man. 7 minutes. That was awesome. I'm glad. I thank you for letting me do that. You know, I literally, that was not fun. You run into the other room. You got to pull up the Dropbox, upload the file, put it back. Wow, you could do a lot in 30 seconds. Manscaped.com. Okay, so Alba Fire spoils the party. She shows up. Ruins the segment. She even, I think, super kicked the guy holding the champagne, and she's going to challenge Mandy Rose for the championship in 2 weeks. Do I see Alba Fire dethroning Mandy Rose after a year? No. I feel like something else is going to transpire. Maybe someone is going to make a surprise appearance, and maybe that leads into December, or maybe somebody shows up and that leads to a three-way or a four-way in December, but I'm nothing against Alba Fire. You watch her work closely. She still needs improvement. Now, I know there was a little bit of controversy yesterday because Mandy Rose proclaimed herself as the greatest NXT Women's Champion of all time. I mean, honestly, anybody who is a heel when they have a championship, they will proclaim themselves as the greatest of all time. That's what heels do. They are very full of themselves. So Mandy Rose, look, she's had a phenomenal 12 months. And she has done a great job with the women's championship. And honestly, right now, I would not take the title off of her either. But her proclaiming, look, is she Asuka? No. But, you know, her saying that yesterday, I had no issue with that whatsoever. So that was your episode of NXT. Now, ratings-wise, NXT yesterday, last week they did 716,000. This week they did 670. Let me tell you something. That is an excellent rating for NXT. Going up against the World Series on top of it, 670 is a phenomenal number. And again, look at the NXT ratings from 2020 and 2021, and it'll blow your mind. Even parts of 2019, they're doing better now in the ratings than they did in at least half of 2019. That was black and gold era. So you could see, you know, the progression of some stars, and you know, it's starting to pay off. I mean, NXT does not feel like it did at the beginning of the year. And listen, it's fun. You know, not for everybody, but for me, it's fun to watch people develop and grow and turn into stars. It's a pretty cool thing. Look, Hobbs, Powerhouse Hobbs laid out Wardlow at the end of the night tonight. That guy should be so much further on the food chain in AEW. And I could picture that guy showing up on NXT and laying out Bron Breakker and being thrown right in the main event mix. Seriously, Powerhouse Hobbs is not, he didn't come from the NIL program. He didn't come out of high school where he had no experience whatsoever. You know, this guy, even Ricky Starks, what the fuck happened to Ricky Starks? Did he slip on his shoes and break an ankle? Nothing happened to Ricky Starks. Again, that's why, you know, when you really start dissecting everything, Didi Dima. Lana did an interview and she was hyping up her own show and she was talking about Miro and the lack of use by AEW. And this was her response. And I quote, "It's casting. It's the director. It's the showrunner. At the end of the day, we are hired talent. If you really don't like the person you're working for, then go start your own wrestling promotion and see how that goes." She says that you go there and you basically become whatever you're made of. But at the end of the day, Tony Khan is booking the show. And it's Tony Khan's decision to book people. So basically what she's saying is, look, you know, there's no issues with Miro. It's just Tony Khan is the boss and he is not booking Miro right now. I mean, what logic is that? You're Ricky Starr, you know, and do I feel confidence that Powerhouse Hobbs could become TNT champion? No, I don't at all. You know, I think he'll get a quick run. Maybe he faces Wardlow at Full Gear, loses, and then he disappears again, other than the YouTube shows. That's what it sure feels like for me. All right, so let's start bringing this home a little bit. I want to give a shout out to a couple of people who are very generous tonight, sending in a little bit of fundage. Ronnie C. with a 10 spot. AEW playing major politics tonight, putting Colt Cabana out there against Jericho. You know, I remember everybody saying that AEW is better than the politics in WWE. And it was like, tonight was making a statement. Tonight was sending a couple of messages. The EVPs sending a message to the entire roster that no one there is more powerful than us and Tony Khan. And, you know, in the end, that's got to be frustrating for a lot of people. It's got to be extremely frustrating. They also sent a message to CM Punk that, you know, in the end, you know, we win. In the end, we come out on top. And your buddy, Colt Cabana, that you embarrassed and you brought up, and didn't they even reference Colt Cabana's mother tonight? I could swear we heard something in the background referencing her mother. So now everybody is comfortable to be a dick. You know, people are concerned about getting punched in the face or bit or sued. You know, everybody plays the victim. But we're in 2020 once again. And, you know, in the end, they're going to win out. They're going to win out. So I agree. I agree. And Benjamin says they did reference Colt Cabana's mother tonight. You know, and look, Chris Jericho, I'm sure you had a hand in it as well. I'm sure Chris Jericho may have come up with the idea like, hey, Colt Cabana was in Ring of Honor. Let me face Colt Cabana tonight. I'm not discounting credit. Look, I am a big fan of Jericho. Props to him, putting himself in the position that he's in. You know, you have to admire that. And the guy is working his ass off. He's not kissing ass to get to that spot. He's working. You know, some people may even say, you know, they're a little surprised how much Jericho is still working in the ring. But I wouldn't be surprised if Jericho had a hand in this as well. And especially if Jericho is going to keep that power, you know, then obviously he... And look, Jericho might be the number two in Ring of Honor, and the EVPs are the number two in AEW. So if Jericho, Tony Khan may give all the power in the world for Jericho as long as it's got the Ring of Honor name in front of it. For the Elite, it's got to be the AEW. I don't think the Elite gives a shit that much about Ring of Honor. I think the Elite, because they created, founded, well, I should say founded AEW, they want their fingerprints all over AEW. I don't think the Elite could care less about Ring of Honor. So, okay, Chris, you want power? No problem. You're the godfather of Ring of Honor. And for Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, you're the godfathers of AEW. So that's what it feels like. It's certainly the way it's perceived to me. Problem is you can't trust the media to tell you the truth or not. KD, a box is on its way to you. Should come to you the next day or two. Chaos as well. A few others I will be doing this weekend. But just want to let you know, look out for that. Dynamite, toilet flushing. He groaned a lot, but he had to laugh during that interminable Acclaim segment. At the end of it, poor Billy Gunn was made to lay on the floor, and his adopted sons had just laid there on his birthday. Well, you know, I think the whole adoption thing is stupid. It's corny. It's feel-good moments. It's to set up an 8-man tag match for next week. FTR and the Acclaimed versus the Gun Club and Swerve and Our Glory. Obviously, this is set up to have the Gun Club eat the pin. You give a win to FTR and the Acclaimed, and then after the match is over, they kind of tease that, hey, you know, we're on the same side, but, you know, ultimately we're going to get those titles. That's what this was tonight. Nothing more, nothing less. Where W. Morrissey fits in all, again, that's why I called it the video game. Like, insert anybody you want to show up like that. I tell you, it was very interesting that a week ago, people were talking about MJF enjoying a week off. I don't know why you would advertise that a week ago, because I remember last Friday we were talking about it, and I remember mentioning it on Saturday's show that MJF was not appearing at this Dynamite. I don't know why they would mention that so early in the week, but they did. There was no MJF there tonight. By the way, William Regal, as I said earlier, did cut a quick backstage interview with Tony Schiavone. And it was pre-recorded, obviously, but pay attention to something that William Regal said. He is far from the devil. You know, like, MJF is not there yet, you know, and the way Regal was talking, you know, this is basically, he's insulting MJF that you got a long way to go before you know, you're the devil. You pay attention. MJF is going to attack William Regal. In my opinion, I think MJF has to attack William Regal to show William Regal, yeah, you want to see how much of a devil I am? And he beats the fuck out of Regal. I don't know how much of abuse Regal could take, but that will obviously add a lot of heat to the match at Full Gear. Problem is, Full Gear is coming up a lot quicker than you realize. So it almost feels like it's got to go down next week or it doesn't go down at all. So, No. Benjamin, on social media, they were advertising all over the place. Everybody was talking about how he wasn't going to be around for a week. So, want to give a shout-out to King of Games 405. Thank you for the five spot. Am I surprised Tony Khan allowed that Cabana stuff on TV? No, it doesn't surprise me at all. Because of what I've been saying in a lot of the synopsis over the last 9 months, Tony Khan is a reflection of the foundation. You know, it's not like Tony Khan met with the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega 4 or 5 years ago and had this vision, you know, and this anti-WWE and, you know, putting to life, you know, this. And they all act a certain way and Tony Khan acts a total different way. You know, everybody acts like Tony Khan because he's the boss and because he's got money that, you know, that he would treat these situations any different. I think Tony Khan thinks very similar as the Young Bucks. I think he and Kenny Omega are very similar in their thoughts and styles. And I think Cody Rhodes is probably the only one, you know, that, you know, kind of after a while is like, wait a minute, you know, like this is not the way I play. And I think, remember when there was early reports that Cody and the Elite were not talking anymore and this and that. You know, this foundation It's a reflection of it. Sammy Guevara. I mean, I wrote, you could type Sammy Guevara in a search box online, and you'll see a video from a year ago, maybe even longer than that. And I said that Sammy Guevara is Tony Khan's bitch. And I didn't mean it like in a derogatory way, but Sammy Guevara is a made man with Tony Khan. Look at Sammy's wedding. Look at Tony Khan. You know, he is one of them. He is part of the elite. And I'm still convinced that one day down the line, Tony Khan is going to become an on-air character, maybe even be a heel, and maybe he tries to sabotage AEW. Do I think they would do that under the Ring of Honor banner? I doubt it. I don't think that would go over well at all, especially that you want AEW to prevail in the end. But that's pretty much it. So, guys, gals, we're going to bring this home because tomorrow, as I said earlier, it is going down 8.05 p.m. Eastern. Yours truly, JD from New York. And these are the final topics list of what we're going to get into. Now, keep in mind, you know, obviously, you know, I always say super chats are not required, but they are appreciated. Anybody that sends any in yesterday, tomorrow, we're obviously going to give a little priority, get into their subjects as well. But as far as advanced topics, rather than answering individual questions, we made up a list. And this is what we came up with. We're going to talk about what went down this weekend on social media with Jade Cargill, Britt Baker, the mob and cancel culture, and JD from New York. We're going to tell you what we believe Wyatt Six actually is, Uncle Howdy and Uncle Harper, because I know we have two totally different views on that. Should Bray Wyatt feud with Roman Reigns before or even at WrestleMania? I think we probably both agree on that topic. I know there's all these reports that Bray Wyatt feud with Roman Reigns is imminent because WWE underestimated how over Bray Wyatt is. I think that is a load of garbage. Ariel Helwani and Tony Khan, the interview. Was Ariel Helwani right with his frustration, or did Tony Khan, was he right standing ground? I know for a fact I take Ariel Helwani's side completely. JD takes Tony Khan's side. Tony Khan, respected leader or man-child? Can the AEW backstage drama and infighting ever be repaired? Are news sites and newsletters causing unrepairable harm to AEW? CM Punk versus the Elite. Whose side are you on? Should CM Punk and the WWE negotiate a return? JD and I are going to talk about some of the hirings that Triple H has made from the WWE releases, and we're going to talk. How do we feel how Hit Row has been used so far? Karrion Kross, Io Sky, Dakota Kai. We're going to talk about a whole bunch. Braun Strowman. MJF, January 1st, 2024. Will he be a part of WWE or AEW? We will discuss Dominic Mysterio, Marina Shafir, Ava Rain, Omos, Braun Strowman, and others, because we definitely have some differences of opinion there. Was WWE shifting NXT from the black and gold to developmental the right move? We're going to talk about WWE trimming back some of their 2023 premium live event / pay-per-view schedule and removing some of the gimmick events. And also, we're going to give some ideas how AEW Dynamite could get to 1.5 million viewers. And if we feel that they can't, then we will say that as well. So that is going down in less than 24 hours. And if you're watching this episode right here after Thursday, November 3rd, when I go like this, you will see a link pop up if you want to go check it out. So, everyone, I'm going to get a good night's sleep tonight. I'm going to drink the rest of this orange tea and get a good night's sleep and rest up, because tomorrow night is going to be a really, really fun show. I'm looking forward to it. And it's going to be a longer show as well. How long we go is really going to be up to all of you. We'll see what kind of feedback we get as the show is going. We'll see what kind of questions come in. But that is primarily the topics we're going to talk about. And then whatever you all want added to it, we will definitely get into it. So, yeah, I hope you could join us. It's going to be a very interesting episode. Funny thing is, I had somebody, you know, who I trust in the wrestling world ask me, like, you know, I hope you're, like, really preparing for this. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, JD's going to go for the jugular. He's going to stand. I'm like, no, man, I'm just going into it. I'm going to go into it with no notes because we're just going to have just our honest discussions about this. It's not about winning an argument. You know, how you feel about a certain topic, you know, is the way you feel. No answer is wrong. But, you know, if you talk about how you truly feel, you really don't need to rehearse. You don't need to write things. I mean, I probably will take down some numbers, you know, because, you know, when we talk about ratings with NXT, you know, I want people to know exactly what those ratings were in 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021. But for the most part, we just go in with the list. Same way we went in with Jason and Joe Cronin. And I think both of those episodes were spectacular. I still get feedback to this day on both episodes. Really, really fun conversations. And tomorrow, and listen, I think some for some of you out there that don't like JD, I think you're going to see a side of JD tomorrow that you don't normally see. This is going to be casual. It's going to be fun. You know, I'm sure we're going to really hold our ground with some of our discussions, but this is not going to be, you know, ranting all night long. So it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, all right, everybody. Much love as always. If you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. If you know anyone out there that may enjoy the channel or even tomorrow, let them know about it. We want the shit to blow up tomorrow. So feedback always appreciated, welcomed, and I bid you farewell. I'll see you tomorrow night, 8.05 p.m. Special night, November 3rd. Take care.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.